Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who travels so he can pretend he's on the lam, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night here on Nightlight. It is like the Christmas Eve of weekdays, folks, and we are barreling through another edition of Nightlight, coming to you live from Madison tonight, right above Comedy on State. And you know what? Rich, you ever play Madison, Wisconsin when you were a comedian?
No, I played Milwaukee.
Okay.
A few times, but I never played Madison.
Great comedy town. They don't even
Madison.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. When I was in law school and lived in Washington, D.C., I was doing work for NORML, which was the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws.
Wow.
This is a true story. I was just guys stuffing envelopes, you know, when they would people buy T-shirts and bumpers from the back of Rolling Stone magazine, and I would help fill the orders. That's what I was doing. But one time they had a strategy session. Everybody come in to the big conference room, which, you know, 20, 30 people. And they're going to have a conference, you know, a strategy session. Of course, it was a hot box, as a kid would say today. I mean, there was a lot of marijuana being passed around and during this session. And so this guy standing in front, he had a map of the United States. He said, Madison, Wisconsin has decriminalized marijuana. That is, this was like 1977 or whatever it was. So they decriminalized marijuana, and so we have a good shot right there to use that as a springboard to other places. And somebody went, Wisconsin. And then somebody else went, cheese. And then somebody went, pizza. And they ordered pizza, and the meeting was over. It was word association.
Oh, that's fantastic. Rich Scheider is my guest, folks. He's an author and a comedian who you've seen on TV over the years, dating back to 1980. He's been around a while. Where can people find your books, Rich?
Amazon.com. Okay. I Killed is a book that Mark Schiff and I put out. They were all sorts of road stories. And then my book is Kicking Through the Ashes. It's my life as a stand-up in the 1980s. So I just framed it from that period of time. You know, when I was doing stand up in the '80s and then went to write on the Roseanne show, started writing for sitcoms. So that's the time.
That's so great. Mark Schiff, I worked with him at the Improv in Chicago, and he did a joke. It was just like the most, he talked about dining and dashing, and he was so subtle.
Oh my God. And because the whole audience, let's get the whole audience to go. We can all go. We can all run right now. We can run out of this club. That was Schiff.
That's
he's
great.
All deadpan. So I know some people in the audience are going, hey, this guy's serious. We can. They can't stop us all. He'd go, they can't stop us all.
No, he was.
We can all run. We can all just.
He was so deadpan. Leave. And he'd go, they left the roast beef off the menu. Get the car. They left the roast beef off the bill. Get the car. It was just so, you're right. It was so deadpan and beautiful. Hey, Rich, one of the stories you posted that I loved involved Steve Martin and Phyllis Diller. Can you please tell that story?
So Phyllis, I became friends with Phyllis Diller, and she said the key to showbiz is eating. The proper word for it would be crap, but there's a different word for it, you know.
Right.
So that's the key. You have to learn how to eat crap. You're gonna eat a lot of crap in showbiz. You know, you're gonna take a lot of guff, basically, what she was saying in a different way. And so this story to me was one of the best ones of that. Steve Martin, you know, was a young writer on the Smothers Brothers show. Back, I think, you know, 68, 69, whatever it was, he was writing for them. And so one week the guest host was Sherry Lewis, and she had a hand puppet. She was ventriloquist, had a hand puppet named Lamb Chop. So they're having a writing session in Sherry's dressing room of the show. And they're trying to, you know, brainstorm corporate ideas for what to do with it this week. And at one point, Sherry looks around. She goes, where's Lamb Chop? So the Lamb Chop, where's Lamb Chop? So everybody's now looking around for this hand puppet. And then Steve Martin realizes he's sitting on the Lamb Chop. He's sitting on the puppet. So he pulls it out from under him. He says, here it is. Sorry. And she goes, okay. And they all leave. And a couple of minutes later, Tommy Smothers, he told me this story. Tommy Smothers comes in to Steve Martin and says, listen, Sherry's very upset about you sitting on a Lamb Chop, and she's going to walk, and we won't have a guest star this week. You got to go down and apologize to her for sitting on Lamb Chop. All right, go. So Steve Martin wants to keep his job. So he goes down there and he apologizes. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. You're one of my favorite stars and I'm so glad you're here. And we're going to have a lot of fun this week. I'm so sorry. I sat on lamp shock. Please accept my apology. She says, I accept your apology. Steve turns, starts to walk for the door and he hears, what about me? And he turns around and Sherry's got the lamb chop puckering on. She goes, are you going to apologize to me? So Steve had to apologize to the ham puppet.
So great. Oh, I love that story.
And everybody asked, they go, was she serious or joking? And I asked that same question at Tom and he told me, he goes, oh, she was serious.
But it doesn't matter. It's hilarious either way, whether she's joking.
Either way.
Oh, it's just.
Absolutely.
Thinking
absolutely.
Of Steve Martin having to do that is just gold.
Yes, exactly.
Hey,
exactly.
Maybe we could squeeze one more in here, if you don't mind, Rich. Jackie Mason sure. is from no. Wisconsin. And I know you have, he was born in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. I know you have a Jackie Mason story.
Well, it's a little longer story if you want to do the Ed Sullivan story, but he was on Ed Sullivan in 1964. He was a regular on Ed Sullivan. He did a great Ed Sullivan impression TV show back when there were only three networks or three stations on your TV. Right. And Sunday night, that was a huge, one of the biggest shows in the country. This particular week, Lyndon Baines Johnson, the president of the United States, was speaking. Now, this was a live show, the Ed Sullivan show, and it cut into his speech, Johnson's speech cut into the show. So they don't cut away from the president. They just delay cutting into the Ed Sullivan show. And Jackie Mason is already on stage performing for the studio audience. When the cameras come on, they go and they're back on and he's performing. Now, Ed Sullivan was standing on the stage to the right of Jackie Mason, which is really not a problem because he's just laughing at the performer or whatever. But this particular time, they were running short because of Johnson's cutting into the show. And so he's trying to give signals. He doesn't know stage manager signals. He's trying to give signals to Jackie to cut a couple minutes out of his bit. And now the audience is looking at Ed over there doing hand gestures. You know, it looks like he's signing for the deaf, but he doesn't know what he's doing. He's doing the hand gestures, and Jackie's afraid that he's losing the audience's attention. So he starts... You know, oh, you got fingers? You got fingers? Do you have fingers? Are they talented fingers? They're such talented fingers. Maybe people should come to see you and your fingers. Your talented fingers, right? And he's flashing fingers too. Well, he sort of upstaged Ed. Ed got angry. After the show, Jackie gave him the finger. That's what he thought. He claimed Jackie gave him the finger on national television, which never would have happened. Jackie,
right.
Jackie said, I didn't know what the finger was. I didn't know. I don't buy that. But there's no way Jackie gave him the finger. Well, the result was he banned Jackie and also put the word out. I mean, this was 1964. People didn't say darn, you know, they barely said darn or dang on TV. They certainly didn't say damn, or they weren't giving each other the fingers on national right. television. So it really hurt his career. Like bookings were canceled. And so he sued Ed. I don't know, sued him for like $3 million. 1964, a lot of money. Sued him for $3 million, which caused Ed to go, well, maybe I should look at the tapes. They did have tapes back then. So he looks at the tape, he goes, well, God darn, he didn't give me the finger. He did not give him the finger. And so then he welcomed Jackie back on the show, you know, open arms, please drop the lawsuit, right. have some more appearances. And all was well.
That is so great. Just awesome stuff. Maybe we could get one. Oh, can you tell the Pee Wee Herman song or a story before we let you go, Rich? I love this one. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So this was 1981. Pee Wee Herman, you know, he had this great character. And he went on David Letterman's show. And the next night, this is in New York City. I lived in New York City and with my first wife, Carol Leifer. And the next night he was performing at a theater. Can't remember where it was. It was in New York City, obviously. So we were mutual friends with a woman who was a TV producer in New York. And she was very good friends with Pee-wee's manager. And so we got backstage. We're in Pee-wee's dressing room. I don't know Pee-wee. Never saw him before. He's in his Paul Rubens, in his Pee-wee outfit, the little gray suit, white shirt, the little bow tie, pancake makeup, red lips. You know, he's backstage, but he's not. He's just like talking regular and smoking a cigarette and everybody's chatting. And he starts going off like, I hate this character. I'm sick of him. You know, and I'm like, there's a packed audience out there, you know, and he's like, I hate it. I'm sick of doing this character. And the stage manager pops his head in the dressing room and says, Paul, it's time to go on. And he just puts the cigarette out and he goes, ah! And he starts right into the character and dances that Pee Wee dance out of the dressing room onto the stage, hour and a half, killing him. I go, you know, when he eventually, you know, what happened to him in the movie theaters. I said, well, he finally figured out how to kill that character off years later. He finally figured out they're not going to bring Pee-wee out again. Nobody will ask me to do Pee-wee after this. Hide your kids. Here comes Pee-wee.
That's so great. Rich, this is so fun. I'm just going to say this to you. I think I said this to you the last time you were on the air, but when I started doing stand-up comedy at the Funny Firm. Well, I started not at the Funny Firm. I was there one night with a friend of mine, Ty Phipps, and you were the headliner, and Ty was asking you all these questions. Then I chimed in. I mean, you gave us probably a half hour of your time to these two eager guys just trying to become comedians, and you were gracious with your time, and you were insightful, and it's just to this day, I've not forgotten that. I just think the world of you. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it, Pete. I got to tell you.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it happened to me when I was a young comic in Washington, D.C., and Franklin Ajayi, who was a big star headlining at the Cellar Door. It was a nightclub, in not a comedy club, but an actual performance venue where, you know, like Warren Zevon and Linda Ronstadt would come in. And he was, and I went up to him and I said, I'm a young comic. I went to see him. And he said, come into my dressing room. And I hung out with him for a couple of hours. And he was just giving me advice. Whoa. And he was very generous. So you kind of pass along what you're taught. I should be passing this along, whatever I know. It may not be much to help you. But, you know, obviously, when somebody's interested in doing this, you have a connection. You know?
Absolutely. And
my pleasure.
You're still doing that with your story. So keep them coming. Follow Rich on Instagram. And keep up the great
Thanks,
work, buddy.
Pete. Thank
Thanks,
you,
Rich.
Pete.
All right. That's
Thank
Rich
you,
Scheidner.
Pete. Thanks, man.
Thank you, buddy. He made the popcorn pick of the week, which was Anatomy of a Fall, and those stories are just absolute gold. So hopefully he will put those in another book, because that Steve Martin story I heard a couple days ago when I was watching this, I couldn't even catch my breath. I was laughing so hard thinking of Steve Martin having to go do that. It's just, it's fantastic. So our question of the night, ladies and gentlemen, Don Rosen is coming up in just a few minutes. WRJN morning host Don Rosen will be here momentarily. We'll do a little celebrity talk like we do with Don. And our question of the night is, what is on your bucket list? It's National Bucket List Day. And you can share that with us, and we will read your text on the radio. Tom from New Berlin. Tom says to create AI... that George Carlin and Frank Zappa word debate monitored by Howard Stern. Yeah, what was that story? Tom, give us some clarification. I vaguely remember that, something about that. But he says, with my BlackBerry. Oh, I'm lost. Tom's awesome, though. Tom gives awesome texts. Please give us a few more details, Tom. He says, love this. Tom says, Jane Love. He was talking about the Pac Arena, of course. Mm-hmm. Jane sounds awesome. Totally agree, Tom. Monica from Mount Horeb says, I'm a nerd, so I want to get all the presidential museums in. She wants to go to all the presidential museums. That's kind of
cool.
That
would be pretty cool.
That would be amazing. She says, I have three left, Nixon, Reagan, and FDR. Would like to visit all 50 states, too. Have about a dozen left. That's a great bucket list item. I went to the Reagan's, where Reagan is buried in California when we lived out there. It was up in Simi Valley. It is... The property that is on, I think his library was there too, is stunning. It's absolutely gorgeous. So good luck with that, though. That's a great text. Thank you, Steady Eddie. We'll do Steady Eddies when we come back, I think. Hey, Don Rosen is coming up next. We've got some texts on the stream we have to get to. What's on your bucket list, folks? Join the fun. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. Don Rosen coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
To live, just sit and putter. Life's candy and the sun's a ball of butter. Don't bring around a cloud to rain on my parade. Don't tell me not to fly. I simply
that
got
is
to.
Barbara Streisand.
A spill, it's me and not you.
It's her birthday
you
today.
To rain on my parade. I'll march my band.
She's one of the I'll biggest, if not the biggest star. Maybe ever, like one of the, she's like in the top, the upper echelon.
Certainly in contention.
Certainly in contention. In the running, in the conversation, however you want to say it. She is, I want to say in her 80s today, but I had the opportunity to meet her. I wrote a movie called A Guy Thing, co-wrote. And at the premiere, She was there because James Brolin, her husband, was in the movie.
Ah.
Yeah. So I got to meet Barbara Streisand. And then Don Rosen, if you're listening, we need your phone number, pal. We're missing a digit. So I can track that down for you too, though, Aaron. I know I have that somewhere in my email. But yeah, and then I went to this premiere and I'm sitting in the crowd. And they sit me and my writing partner, Greg, who's been on this show several times, next to Arianna Huffington. And I looked over, and that was when she was on the air a lot with Al Franken. They were on Bill Maher's old show, Politically Incorrect. So she's with her daughter. I'm with my wife. I lean over to Arianna Huffington, and I just wanted to kind of have words with her. And I said, hey, where's Al Franken tonight? Not my best work. Not a great line, not really necessarily clever. I'm just trying to start a dialogue. And Arianna Huffington doesn't even look at me. And she goes, at home. So that was my interaction with Arianna Huffington at the
incredible conversation.
A guy thing premiere. Yeah, that's about as far as I got. Well, we'll get Don's number. I'm going to search my email. But right now, I want to play a clip. This is it's Jack Nicholson's birthday was yesterday. He's in many amazing films. But a couple of my favorites are Chinatown and The Last Detail. In Chinatown, I have a clip between Jack Nicholson and John Huston. And this is where the whole movie kind of wraps up. The plot is sort of summarized in this one quick scene between Jack Nicholson and John Huston from Chinatown.
I'm doing it.
Going to be a lot of irate citizens when they find out that they're paying for water that they're not going to get.
Oh, that's all taken care of. See, Mr. Gibbs, either you bring the water to L.A. or you bring L.A. to the water.
How are you going to do that?
By incorporating the valley into the city. Simple as that.
How much are you worth?
I've no idea. How much do you want?
I just want to know what you're worth. Over 10 million?
Oh, my, yes.
Why are you doing it? How much better can you eat? What can you buy that you can't already afford?
The future, Mr. Gitz. The future. Now, where's the girl? I want the only daughter I've got left. You found out Evelyn was lost to me a long time ago.
Who do you blame for that? Her?
I don't blame myself. See, Mr. Gitz, most people never have to face the fact that the right time and the right place, they're capable of anything. Claude, take those glasses from me, will you? Not worth it, Mr. Gitz. It's really not worth it.
He's got a gun to his head. After basically figuring out what the deal was with the water. Such a great movie, Chinatown. I'm due for a rewatch. Absolute great stuff.
Jack Nicholson's
birthday. You've seen it though, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like a great noir written by Robert Towne. Just a phenomenal movie, and I cannot wait. It's been long enough. Sometimes you rewatch a movie and you're not ready to rewatch it yet. You saw it too soon, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I should have waited a little longer. But it's been about 10 years since I've seen Chinatown. I'm excited.
One of my favorite things about it is also, like, you wouldn't expect Chinatown to be a special effects movie, but there's the scene where they stick the knife in his nose and then they cut it.
Oh, yeah.
And the way they made that look so real is by having a knife that had a spring and a hinge so that when they pulled it, it would slide out and then go back quick enough that you wouldn't see it.
Really?
And it had a tube that squirted fake blood at the same time. So it looked like they cut his nose.
That is so cool.
I thought it was really cool. I love behind the scenes.
How did
stuff
you find
like that.
That out? I just never even questioned it.
There was a YouTube video that I watched where they tried to recreate it and compare it to if you tried to do it with CG. And they're like, no, this is way better than trying to do it with CG.
Yeah, that was a great. That was Roman Polanski, I believe, had a cameo. It was the one that sliced his nose.
I think so.
Yeah. Wow. Great. great tidbit. Mr. Zommers bringing the heat. Anna from Madison says, hi, Pete and Aaron. My bucket list is to see the Rolling Stones in concert, Paul McCartney in concert, and Ringo Starr in concert. That's a great bucket list. See, why couldn't I think of something like that? I've pretty much seen everybody I want to see concert-wise. So I wasn't thinking along those lines, but that is a great text. Thank you, Anna. Anna always has good thoughts. And Steady Eddie says, Pete, I completed my bucket list last night. Wow, this is nice. He says, I was at a Bonnie Raitt concert in Carolina. I just arrived back home to Wisconsin, in parentheses. I was singing Like a Lark with Bonnie to the song Angel from Montgomery. It was beautiful till some mean old guy gave me such a dirty look while mumbling something like, shut up, you old crow.
Huh, that sounds familiar.
That does sound familiar. Don't know what his problem was. I guess some people just don't appreciate good music. Well done, Steady Eddie, as always. That's great stuff. And then PJ on the stream says, bucket list to travel around the world. First Canada to find distant relatives, then make my way to Germany to find more distant relatives. That's another great one. Like, it includes travel and tracking down ancestors, your family tree. I think that's awesome. Keep those texts coming, folks. What's on your bucket list? It is National Bucket List Day. We are going to get Don Rosen on the phone. That is my vow to you. During the news, we will track down Don Rosen and have a little bit of celebrity talk with the host of the WRJN Morning Show. We're coming right back. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. I am Pete Schwab, your host. We are coming to you live from Madison, Wisconsin tonight, folks. Beautiful downtown Madison. Good to change things up every once in a while. Riding shotgun tonight. Instead of the K-Man is Aaron Zommers. Conrad is eagerly awaiting probably the Packers draft pick in the first round. He's at the draft, chilling out.
I hope he is sober enough to comprehend what's going on. You never know in Green Bay, specifically
listen,
with the draft.
They can put it away. And here's another guy who, I don't know if Don is such a music guy and a radio guy. I don't even know if Don cares about sports. He could be a classic sports hater for all I know. But we'll find out because we're going to bring him on the show right now, ladies and gentlemen. It is my pleasure to welcome my friend and the host of the WRJN Morning Show, Don Rosen. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Pete. Thanks. You know, the whole world is heading to Green Bay, and you're running from Green Bay.
Well,
I told the people at the radio station in Racine, let's rent space in our parking lot for people to park for the NFL draft, okay, and then take an Uber up to Green Bay.
They might be taking you up on that. I've been hearing.
It could be cheaper.
It could be cheaper, right? The hotel rooms are jacked up. But are you a sports fan, Don?
Not really. When I lived in New York, we had my father had season tickets to the New York Mets. Mm. So back in the 60s and their championship year, 69, I went every weekend. I was the pride of the neighborhood. Everybody wanted to get my four tickets, you know, come with me. And we didn't drive, so we used to take the Long Island Railroad into Shea. And this is when they had the World's Fair around. They built a spur. So you were able to go take the old World's Fair spur and took you right to the front gate of Shea Stadium. And it was really good. I went to college, it was the training camp. It still is, Hofstra University, the training camp for the New York Jets. And we used to sit there, have our lunch on the grass, Joe Namath, Emerson Boozer, Don Meredith all coming up to us, talking to us while we're eating our lunch, taking our French fries and That's about it.
That's kind of cool. That is a Don Rosen story if I've ever heard one. You have great stories, Don, about just comings and goings with celebrities. I have several because I lived in just north of Hollywood, basically. But you have been around in radio. You have such great stories. Can you? I know you've told this before on the air, but can you tell me your? Yeah, go ahead.
Our pastor at our church, he just left to take another church assignment, but he was there for 25 years. He went to North Hollywood High. That's where he grew up going there.
I lived two blocks from there.
Molly Ringwald was in his class, and Dweezil Zappa was in his class, too.
That's great. Well, yeah. you had a very famous classmate too, and you were friends. And I love the story you tell about him, especially when you talk about the other friend who is mad that he didn't stay in touch. Do you know what I'm referring to?
Oh, yeah.
Can you please tell
Jerry Seinfeld.
That? Yeah.
Yeah. Jerry Seinfeld, we grew up in Massapequa, New York, and he was about six houses from me, but we went to school together, went to each other's birthday parties, all that kind of stuff. His next door neighbor was a guy named Joel Hegman. And at my 20th high school reunion, Joel came up to me and he said, "Boy, Jerry is really stuck up. We're friends all our childhood life, and now he doesn't want to talk to me. He doesn't return my calls." I said, "He's a different world now, Joel. He's, you know, he said it's different." And he said, "Yeah, but we're his friends. We grew up with him. We hung all the time." I said, "But he's got different friends now. He's in a different world." Now, cut to on one of the seasons of Seinfeld, and I forget the character's name on the show, but it was Joel Harnick or something like that. And on the show, he played an old friend of Jerry that kept pestering him all the time about the good old days. "Don't you want to be friends with me anymore?" And I'm watching this, and I call my brother, and I said, "That's Joel Hegman he's talking about." And I said, "That's him." And so I have it on DVD, and I watch it, and I describe the story to my wife. I said, "Go watch the episode. That's Joel Hegman he wrote that about."
I love
it. And Joel never, I know Joel Hegman never picked up on it, but.
Well, that probably describes why he didn't understand initially the nuance or the difference. I don't know. I guess that doesn't surprise me is what I'm saying.
And you know what, Jerry, he's a different life, you know.
Yeah.
Don't keep pestering them, and that's just it.
Well, most people don't keep in touch anyway with their, I mean, when you get out of grade school, for God's sakes, even if you're not a famous TV star, you just don't, unless you live right by you kind of lose touch anyway, don't you?
Yeah, and you know, we had a young girl working for us at the radio station at WRJN, and she was going to see Jerry at the Riverside Theater in Milwaukee. And she said, "He said in his biography, he's from Massapequa. That's where you're from." And I told her the whole story. And I called my mother. I said, "Do you have any childhood pictures of us?" And she found one. We were like 5 or 6 years old together. And she made a copy of it. She brought it to Jerry. And Jerry's manager came out in the lobby of the Riverside and said, "Did you give that picture to Jerry? Did you? He wants to meet you." So she went back to the dressing room. And Jerry said, "Where'd you get the picture?" And she told him. And she said, "Could you sign it?" Unfortunately, he signed it to me, not her. And she was heartbroken. He said, "Dear Don, we must get together more than once every 40 years, Jerry." Or
like that. That sounds about right.
But I said, "You still got his autograph. What difference does it make? You should have said something to him."
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he would have. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Do you think he, you know, I've met him 3 times and he was always really nice. I was a young comic, probably peppered him with too many questions, but he was, you know, he was fine back then. I notice he seems a little curmudgeony. More so in the last few years. Have you noticed that?
You know how old he is?
If you give me a second, I can figure it out. He was 33 in 1987. I know that much, but I'm not good enough at math to figure that out quickly.
He's going to be in April. He was 71 years old in April.
Okay.
Because we got Bar Mitzvah a few weeks apart.
Oh, okay.
We went to Hebrew school together. And I remember his Bar Mitzvah was in mid-April, and mine was at May 28th.
Did you guys go to each other's bar mitzvahs?
Not the parties, but okay. we went to each other's bar mitzvah in the synagogue, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think he's a little crabby the last few years, and I don't know why. I don't understand why a guy with $1 billion who's got the world on a string still, even at 70, is like that.
Because he's got Joe Hegman calling him day and night. And he's probably got about 50 Joe Hegmans out there calling him day and night. He's crabby too.
My guest is Don Rosen. He is the host of the WRJN Morning Show in Racine. And he joins us here on Nightlight periodically. We talk about our celebrity sightings. Don,
I got a bunch of them.
Well, share another one, and then I want to tell you why I think Racine and Kenosha are going to be boom towns.
Okay, before that, we run the Entertainment Beat. In the morning on WRJ.
Oh, yeah.
6:15, 7:15, and 8:15. I love them. And I love your digs in there. And I wrote two of them down because you were talking about the Monopoly movie. You did one about that. And yet, really under your breath, you said, "I hate it already." Formally, you got that. And it was so fast. And you were talking about Russell Brand, and I guess he's got another accuser or something.
Yeah, he's a
clown. And you're talking about the salacious things he's accused of, and then under your breath you said, what a guy. And I love those gigs.
Oh, thanks. Well, I apologize. I was in a hurry today, so I've got a couple clunkers coming your way for tomorrow. But stick with me. I'll get the. No, I appreciate you playing them, and I'm glad you're enjoying them. They're fun to do.
Yeah. Kenosha, Racine, Boomtown.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing. I have a cousin that just bought a house in Kenosha, and Kenosha and Racine, you know, right between Chicago and Milwaukee, closer to Milwaukee, but. I've been doing all this reading where Michigan is going to be the go-to state in 20 years because of global warming and climate change and what's going on in California and Florida. People are going to go north to the Great Lakes. Michigan supposedly is the darling, but I say, you know, Wisconsin, we're basically very same topography-wise and whatever. Kenosha and Racine are right on the water. And they're right between two huge cities, this little kind of haven between Milwaukee and Chicago, if you don't want to live in giant cities. I really think I think you're going to make a killing on your house is what I'm saying.
Well, I'm sitting in it now. We got everything redone, the walls. We got new floors, getting a new roof. We got a new porch. We got new water heaters. We got new bathroom. We got new shower. We got new. So, yeah, I hope so.
I can get my money back.
Yeah, I just want to get my money back. I want to put into the house. Yeah, we like this house. It's a nice neighborhood. We live on Main Street, but the neighbors couldn't be better. I love them all, and we all watch out for each other, so that's great.
I just think it's like a great – you can be on the train. You could take the train to Chicago from there. You could 20 minutes to Milwaukee. I mean, it's amazing.
$5. It gets the Metro train from Chicago. You got to go to Kenosha for the Metro.
Right.
But if you catch it, $5 takes you right in on a weekend, right to downtown Chicago.
So, all right. So that was just a little, that was like an intermission. What is going on at WRJN? You've got this great new facility. How are things going there? And what have you got you can share with us?
Well, I've been there 25 years, so I've been there a while. I took 9 off. I got fired by one owner, and then when he sold the station, I got hired back. So I was there for 24 years, the first go around, and a year and a half with Civic Media so far. We have the Civic Media Network is done from there, the Talk Network.
Right.
It's done from our studios. So that's kind of nice. They're all refurbished. It's a great facility. It's in a residential neighborhood. But, you know, we were there before the other homes were there. The station turns 100 years old in a year and a half.
How about that?
On December 6th of 2026, it'll be 100 years old.
Jeez.
The historic museum downtown, the Heritage Museum downtown, is doing a 100-year exhibit for us.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's been it's a pretty good radio station. It's got a lot of history to it, and it never gave up. It never went the way of AM radio stations just, you know, dying. It was always vibrant, always a part of the community. And one of the ratings I saw, the morning show came out number 2 in the county. Which is great.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's doing real well. We got 2 FM signals and 1 AM on WRJN.
Love it.
But, you know, Civic Media is done from there. All their talk shows are done from that studio across from me.
That's fantastic.
Except for you.
I know, except for, I'm all over the place. I would love to do a show from there, just to do a show from there, because I typically broadcast from Green Bay, occasionally from Madison when I'm here for PBS stuff or like a special circumstance like this. But I would love to see those studios. So maybe we could make a field trip or something. I think that would be fun. Do you want to hear my, do you want to hear my Steven Soderbergh, how I was emasculated in front of the director, Steven Soderbergh?
Sex, Lies, and Videotape guy?
Yeah. All right. Okay. So he's one of my favorite directors. So my wife and I moved to LA. It's like late summer, 97. And I'm up for this TV show, which I ended up getting cast in. It was a VH1 pilot. And one of the producers had a friend who showed up at this party, and her boyfriend was Steven Soderbergh. So I had some back and forth with this woman because she was the woman who cast me's friend in the show. And she starts talking about, you know, I should wear the same thing to my callback audition that I had on at the initial audition because it was a very cute top. She kept saying cute top, and Steven Soderbergh's just nodding. And she's like, oh, he had this really cute top on. Are you going to wear that cute top? And I'm like, I have to clarify, I'm being emasculated in front of the hottest director in town right now. And all I can think of is I have to tell him it's not like a pink tube top or something. You know, it was just a, you know, women talk like she just thinks it was a nice shirt.
So that's my humble brag about Steven Soderbergh. But when we come back, folks, I'm hoping Don will tell his story about how he almost killed Jimmy Stewart, America's real sweetheart. That's coming up next with our pal Don Rosen. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Bedhead at 10 to 8 at night.
Headphones.
Yeah, probably. Hey, this is Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Welcome back. Our question of the night was a pretty decent one. We're fighting the NFL draft, but what's on your bucket list? It's National Bucket List Day. Bridget from the 818 says, I'd like to take a really nice vacation. Relaxing, full of good food, adventures, sun, and water. That's a great one. Thank you, Bridget. I still like Gordy's going to Alaska. That's probably the most attainable of the ones we've heard tonight. And then PJ on the stream says, Clay Matthews just did a short speech and said while unfolding a sheet of paper, Dear America, the Bears still suck. You know what, Clay Matthews? I think I could take Clay Matthews. He's been retired. He's probably let himself go. Let's find out what Don Rosen thinks. Don, how do you think I do in a fist fight with Clay Matthews?
I don't know how you would do, but I'd do very poorly in a fist fight with anybody. I was in one fight in my entire life.
Oh, really?
And it was over in about 3 seconds. When I was in the fifth grade, a kid named Mickey Strange, that was his name.
Oh, dear.
Was bragging all over the school. And I'm tall. I'm, you know.
You're a big dude.
I'm 6 foot three now. I was probably a little taller then.
Okay.
And he said how he could take me. And the whole school, the whole elementary school was waiting on the playground. And I saw him leaning against the fence. And I said, let's get this over with. And I just charged him as fast as I could. And I pounded him into the fence. Just, you know, not with my hand, just my body. Fight was over. He was crying his eyes out. That was the only fight I was ever in my entire life.
Can I just give you an A for strategy there, Don? Knowing your strengths, that's impressive.
Just pushed him into the chain link fence, and the wind was knocked out of it. He started crying. The whole school was there, and people started filtering around. He was crying his eyes out.
I feel like that's how all elementary schools fights go, is whoever lands the first hit wins.
Right. It's over immediately, especially if the other guy's bigger. It's a done deal. That's fantastic, Don. Don, do you have a – go ahead. Sorry, buddy.
By the way, I emailed you a picture during the break there.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
Let me see what we got
here.
The
photo.
All right, is of the fight. Oh, I love this photo. All right, I'm going to send this to you, Aaron. Let's see if we can post this in the stream. This is Don Rosen with his old buddy.
I'm in the back row, kind of geeky looking. I was tall. I'm in the back row there. These two girls there that look kind of odd, like space creatures. I'm between them. And Jerry is in the far right on the floor with sneakers.
Of course he's wearing sneakers, right? All right, I just sent that to Aaron. Let's see if we can post that in the stream. Do you have a bucket list, Don? An item you have to get to?
Nope, I've done everything I wanted in my life.
No kidding. Wow, look at you, man.
I've been in radio since I'm 18 years old. This is my 54th year in radio, continuous.
Jeez.
And this is all I wanted to do in life. I've got a great daughter. I've got a great wife. What more do I want?
Oh, it's nice. I got everything I wanted. No pressure then. That's great. I see this picture, Aaron, you sent. Don, we were talking about Chinatown, and I'll have to watch this later, but it was Aaron saw a video about how they cut Jack Nicholson's nose. Do you remember that scene?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it was like a great special effect, even for back then, and that looks awesome.
My wife and I are watching courtroom movies recently.
Okay.
And I got to tell you, we watched the courtroom scene of A Few Good Men. If you just think that Tom Cruise is a nothing actor, just in action films, watch him in that courtroom scene with Jack Nicholson, getting Jack Nicholson to admit that he ordered the code red. I mean, you see his eyes are watering. He's shaking. He's nervous. He's scared.
He's desperate.
And he gets it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's desperate. Because he knows now, if he doesn't do it now, he's going to be court-martialed. He's already started doing it. That was the best, one of the best acting courtroom scenes I've seen.
I agree. And I said that about Tom Cruise. Like, he went through kind of the weird phase where he was dancing on the couch and everybody thought it was Scientology.
Yeah.
That guy is maybe the greatest movie star that's ever made movie. He just makes so few bad films. And even if they're not great, they're really entertaining. He's phenomenal. So that's a great take. We have your picture up, Don. Those of you watching on the stream. So Seinfeld's in the front row.
It's a front right.
Front right at the end. I see.
That sure looks like Jerry Seinfeld.
Yes, it does. And then where's Don?
Where it is. I'm in the back row.
Right in front of the teacher?
What's that?
You have a plaid shirt on?
I don't know what I'm... there's two tall guys. I'm toward the center. You can see I'm the tallest.
Yeah, that's Don. I love that. Oh, thank you for sharing that, buddy. Hey, we've got about, what do we have, Aaron? A couple minutes?
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Do you think you could tell your Jimmy Stewart story before we have to sign off here tonight?
Oh, I ran over Jimmy Stewart. All right, real quickly, I was in Los Angeles with two business guys from a radio station in Milwaukee. We were in San Diego to listen to a radio station. This is before the internet. You had to physically go there. And I begged him, I said, let's go to the Stars Homes. I want to take a ride to the Stars Homes. And we get a map from some kid sitting on a beach chair on the corner for $5. And I'm driving through, and this woman is on Roxbury Drive. And this woman is walking across the street with her dog, and I let her go. She waves me, thank you. And I start to go, and this old man with a sailor's cap, pulled down, he starts to walk across, and I stop, and he waves me on. And as I start to go, he steps into the street. So the guy next to me says, let him go. I said, he waved me on. So he waves me on again. He steps into the street again. And so I roll down the window. I say, Mr. Stewart, please go. And he's going for his wife and his dog, and he gives me a salute. And he walks on. So that's the I almost ran over James Stewart story.
That is my favorite almost killed a celebrity story I think I've ever heard. I never get tired of that. Don, that is awesome. Thank you so much. Let's not let as much time go by next time. I love having you on the show. You got it. And thanks for playing the beats again. Glad you're enjoying them. Have a great show tomorrow. All right.
Okay, bye.
All right. See you, Don. That's Don Rosen. Check out Don's work on WRJN every morning. Outstanding stuff. Aaron, thank you so much. This is so fun. I always enjoy working with you. You're just on it, and it's awesome. And thank you a bunch. I know I was a little frazzled today, so you hung with me.
We also got ambushed at the beginning of the show by an ostrich.
Ambushed by an ostrich? And a guy who fake called in sick? Come on. Thank you to Don Rosen. Thank you to Rich Scheidner. Thank you for all your texts. Brian in Milwaukee says, go on a cruise. Always love ships and water. Was born in June, so I'm a Cancer the crab. All right. Have a great night, Wisconsin. See you Monday.